Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Friday. Much like Ben Standing, Scotty's Vodka is Maryland made, amazingly smooth, and loved throughout the DMV. Joining us now, what do you know, is Ben Standing.
Ben Standing.
What's up, Benny? How you doing, bud?
I appreciate being compared in that way. That's a high honor. Thank you.
Well, I consider it accurate. Do you consider it accurate?
Yeah, I'm down with that.
I like to hear it.
I got no qualms. Yeah.
What are you up to, man? I know we were all supposed to be at rookie mini camp today. With the weather, it got moved to tomorrow. What have you done this week to pass the time?
Yeah, good question. Some catching up on some shows. The new John Hamm show on Apple, where he's like stealing stuff from his neighbors. I like that one. That's been pretty good. Have thought about the roster. Do they still need to make any additions? Does the fact that, is there an edge rusher move on the horizon we just don't see, or similar to like maybe not as big as the Laramie Tunsil deal, but we didn't see that one necessarily coming either. Are there other changes to be had? Do I need to do laundry more often? These are the things that I've been kind of focused on over the last few days since it's been pretty quiet.
Yes.
Yes.
You need to,
fair enough.
Everybody needs to do laundry more often. Yes.
All right. Let's obviously tomorrow I'll see you in Ashburn. We'll be there for Commander's rookie mini camp.
What time is that?
Is it 1:15 to 2:15, Ben? Right? They didn't change the time, just a day.
Yeah, I think that's right, yes.
If you want to come, DQ is supposed to talk beforehand, so I want to get there by like 12:45. Sometimes DQ shows up early, and you got to be ready when he's ready.
Oh, yeah.
But who are you most excited to see tomorrow?
Oh, good question. Obviously Josh Connerly would be fun, but without pads, it's going to be not much to see with him. Depending on what kind of passing is out there, you have the matchup potentially of, say, Amos, the second round corner, and Jalen Lane, the fourth round receiver. Both of those guys address areas of need, and I don't know how often they'll be matched up. And even if it only means so much. That's it's always fun to see the receivers go against the corners, because even if it's a one on one battle, you get to see a little bit there that's reflective of what we see possibly on Sunday. So I think those two guys, just to see if Lane's speed, if he could really recognize it in person. Again, I understand the format is not designed to be really football, give us a real sense of football on Sundays. But, I think from an athletic perspective, those two guys. Also, I would say Kane Medrano, because he was the fastest linebacker at the combine, the defense needs more speed also. And, to see that just sort of naturally unfold in a practice, I think would be something I'd be interested to see as well.
I agree. And yet, despite all the guys you've named, I'm – personally most excited to see Jalen Lane. I want to see if the speed matches the quickness. You know what I mean? Like, guys can be fast, guys can be quick. They're not always both of those. I got to think it does.
Based off of his little shuttle time, he can do it.
That's what I want to see it in person. But that said, I think the biggest story tomorrow might be Gabe Taylor. Curious where you land on that and kind of what, if any, expectations you have.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, we all get the connection with his older brother, and needless to say, Sean Taylor is forever going to be a figure here, you know, of mythical proportions. And, you know, that his brother is here, you know, is going to be a great a reminder, probably the wrong thing, but a good connection for a lot of people. And, look, you know, Gabe Taylor he played extensively in college at Rice, had some good years with interceptions and made some plays, not the biggest of safeties out there. So, you know, he's there as a rookie camp invite. We'll see if it goes beyond that. You know, Stephen Davis's son was out there a couple of years ago in the same way, and, you know, it didn't lead to anything. So I don't know if that means he's going to be there for training camp, but obviously it's a great story. He's going to get a lot of attention from those of us out there. And, you know, anytime Sean Taylor can get discussed in a way that's not about some flawed, you know, jersey display, you know, it's a good thing.
Installation.
And with Croc
Merritt, yes.
What do you think the chances are for him? Merritt, the running back.
Yeah, running back, seventh round.
I mean, look, I thought the offense needed speed no matter where it came from, and obviously Lane is the obvious thing, but the backfield situation in general needed more juice, more big playability. I thought that, look, Brian Robinson can run between the tackles, and Austin Eckler was pretty effective for most of the year in between the concussions, but his effectiveness often was felt like out of the play design from Cliff Kingsbury more than just, you know, sometimes you just got to say, here's the ball, go make a play. And I don't know that the seventh round pick is going to be that guy, but his profile at least suggests that maybe. And, you know, look, if he hadn't sat out last year because of eligibility issues, you know, he possibly goes significantly higher in the draft. So I don't want to go overboard.
He got hosed by the NCAA. Let's call that accurately.
I still don't understand. Like, this isn't 1955. We have footage of games. Like, stats are available. Like, I don't know. I don't understand how you couldn't figure this out.
Somebody probably has video of it on their phone. You know what I mean? Like, what are we talking about?
Right, exactly. So whatever happened there, you know, maybe it's possible they got a guy who would have gone higher in the draft, and therefore that he does turn out to be a bigger deal. You know, where does he fit in the backfield? You know, they brought back the three guys from last year. Will they keep four running backs? Perhaps. If not, you know, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean for the other three? We'll see. But yeah, look, again, the running game is not a huge factor in a rookie practice, or even sometimes not even in training camp. But, yeah, another guy, just to see athletically, what does he show out there, the quickness, the speed. I think all that's important.
What is it that you look for in these camps? You know, like you said, looking for Conley, but they have on no pads. But what is it that you look for?
Yeah, I mean, I think mostly it's engagement. You know, or do they seem to be, you know, are they paying attention when the coaches are speaking? Are they, you know, do they seem to be you know, taking, you know, when something is being said, are they taking advantage of that? Are they following through? But also I would say, look, I get that the interviews with us don't necessarily mean anything, but I remember, just to use one example, like when the first time meeting Josh Dotson and thinking, oh no, this guy, I don't think he loves this. It was a very odd personality situation. And, you know, that was obviously a bit of an extreme, but it is some of that, like, how excited is the guy? How much do they look like they're ready to go and they don't have a deer in the headlights look? I think that stuff does matter, because what they show to us at times can be reflective of the player. I remember even like last year with like Jahan Dotson, I remember thinking early on, like, boy, he seems a little bit off here. He seems like he's overthinking things. Then sure enough, obviously they decided, hey, he wasn't for us. So, you know, I think that stuff does matter to an extent. But yeah, I mean, it's the little stuff. It's not the, you know, how does a guy look running a certain play with no pads, no tackles, playing against a bunch of guys who, you know, are not even going to be at training camp, let alone on the roster. So I think those little things that, you know, matter to me in this circumstance.
Talking with our friend Ben Standing here, covers the Commanders for The Athletic. You can give him a follow at Ben Standing or check out his podcast. Tell everybody what the podcast is so I don't say the wrong name.
Last Man Standing.
Last
you can
Man
find
Standing.
It wherever you... Because I get your Beltway football.
I knew
podcast,
the old one, so I got to get the new one in my head.
You don't know how many times I've had to stop and redo the intro to my podcast because I've said the wrong name. It happens.
That's funny.
That's real bad, there, Ben.
I have one kind of nerdy thing. I'm really excited to watch Trey Amos, and I specifically, like with corners, we're going to get to watch him drop back, flip his hips, run. And I want to see that fluidity because I one, I just have, I'm a mark for good corners. And two, I think that is something that actually translates to Sundays with corners, is how they can turn and run and kind of keep their vision.
In and out of breaks.
Yeah. So I that's one specific football thing I want to see. And two, it's funny, you mentioned four running backs, and I don't necessarily see that happening, but whatever. That's a conversation for August 20th. I do think there's a path here, though, for something really interesting. If you think about the roles Olamide Zaccheaus played, he was an important receiver for this offense. But over time, he proved they couldn't trust him on punts. So then they had to reactivate Crowder. I think if we're going to talk actual 53 roster crunch, I think in their perfect world, Jalen Lane is both of those things, and what costs them two roster spots is now one. I don't know where that roster spot ends up going, but I do think if Lane is who they think he is, they've created another spot for themselves.
Yeah, no, I think that's a pretty good point. You know, I kind of been wondering if Luke McCaffrey, because I think he was pretty effective in the kick return game late in the year. He's obviously going to make the team, but you're right. If Lane, for this year, we're going to label Lane a receiver, but realistically, he's probably should be listed as the returner / receiver as opposed to the other way around, because I would think that's the way, if all goes well, he has the bigger impact. So you're right. I mean, if you know, look, he had a good career in that regard at Virginia Tech, so shouldn't be any surprises. But if they have any questions about that ability, hey, look, Jameson Crowder is still sitting out there. You know, it could lead to them saying we needed a little more help, perhaps a little more. You know, they had like, you know, 20 guys, it felt like at times last year, in the mix with the return game before they settled on a couple guys you mentioned. So we'll see. You know, I'm not going to assume anything, but yes, in the perfect world, Lane, like you said, takes over the punt return. It contributes at least on the kick returns. And yeah, then you don't have to have that extra guy. I mean, obviously Crowder was also helpful, cost, you know, as a receiver at times, but yes, you know, perfect world, they probably would have had just one of those guys and not had to use both.
It's cool to have more than one guy that could do it, though. You know, you don't want to get to a point and have a coach say, oh, we don't have anybody that could do it. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's why it was like funny, because Crowder, you know, when he'd been here the first time, like he was having drops and fumbles and was like, I don't know. But then when they brought him back, you're like, okay. But he was obviously much, much more effective.
He learned, yeah.
This time. Yeah, I mean, yes, yeah, obviously, you know, but, you know, Mikey Sanders still, I thought, was a guy that, because he was a guy who was a receiver, you know, at points of his college career, that, like, get him the ball. He seemed to be pretty electric. Maybe that was a way to get him the ball more. So he's another guy that's like a bonus. That's not like a full-time gig. But, there's going to be some other guys in the roster who could probably help if need to.
Benny. Obviously, it wasn't Commander specific, but the Cowboys made a big trade earlier this week. Talking with our friend Ben Stadig here on the Rude Guest Hotline. What do you make of Pickens to Dallas?
Yeah, it seems like a perfect move for Dallas. High upside, high variance. Look, George Pickens is an incredibly talented receiver, but, you know, I remember that draft that he came out. I was talking to Greg Cosell with NFL Films on my podcast, and he said that Pickens, he thought, just based on tape, was the best receiver in the draft class, but obviously he slipped to the second round because there were some, whatever it is, personality questions, or, you know, does he play hard all, you know, when he's not getting the ball, things like that. A lot of that played out with the Steelers, but Dallas had almost nobody opposite CeeDee Lamb last year. Now you have a guy who is a, you know, big time playmaker, and that could be a pretty dynamic combination. Again, it also could be a combustible one if Pickens, who's going to be going into a contract year if he doesn't get an extension, isn't getting the ball as often as he would like to, you know, to boost his number. So it's going to be a real fascinating watch. But, you know, at a minimum, Dallas has two game breakers on the outside, and I think it's another reason why the Trey Amos pick was so clutch, because, I mean, they didn't know that was necessarily happening. But in a division where you already have A.J. Brown, Malik Nabers, CeeDee Lamb, you had to have more than they did a year ago, and now even more so because Pickens is that good of a talent.
It's going to be interesting. I think they're going to have to pay him. I know they can all say, oh, yeah, we're not paying him, but I think they will.
It will be talked about real soon.
I want to pivot a bit here and ask you something. People may not know this about Ben, but he watches every Wizards game and loves the Wizards and cares more than most. Monday is a huge day for the Wiz. The NBA draft lottery Monday night. When was the last time you felt like this going into a draft lottery? And to me, this is like the young people like to say the final boss. Like the Commanders have turned everything around. There's bright spots with the Nationals. The Caps are damn good still. Like, if the Wiz can land the number one overall pick, is the true final act of Washington sports turning the ship around. How you feeling for the Cooper Flag lottery?
You know, in general, I'm a process guy more than a results guy. Process meaning, and this is why I've enjoyed watching what the Commanders have done. Understand what it takes to build a roster, to build a culture, to do all the right things you can. On the game day, the bounce of the ball, the opponent, you can't control everything. But if you put yourself in the right position, then success will ultimately, I think, find you. In this case, it took forever for the Wizards to accept the fact that, like, being the eighth seed or making the play-in game was nothing. It wasn't going to lead anywhere. So they finally went with the tanking. Very appropriate. I think that Michael Winger and group have done a very good job with what they've done in terms of, you know, maneuvering with the salary cap, taking on other teams' bad assets to get picks, which is including this year, they're going to get the 18th pick from Memphis to take on that Marcus Smart contract. And, you know, it looks like they've done a reasonable job so far, maybe even more than that, with the players they drafted. But now, the thing is, though, you have to ultimately get lottery lucky. If they get the first pick and get Cooper Flagg, I'm not saying he's the next great thing, but clearly a great competitor, he can shoot, knows how to play. Everything about the kid screams you want him on your team if you're really serious about winning. But there's a world where they get the fifth or sixth pick, and all of a sudden all this effort to bottom out to maximize your odds doesn't pan out. And like this is the game that the NBA has played. You have to hope that you get lucky with a lottery, but I do like that their process has been sound. So hopefully for them it pays off, and hopefully for Wizards fans it pays off, because it's no fun to watch all these losses one after another. And they'll probably still have a losing record and then some next year, even if they get flagged. But yeah, this would be a huge, huge deal, not just for the on the court, but the mentality locally that the Wizards would actually be relevant again because of having that guy.
Everyone says flag, but the question would be, if you don't get the first pick, who you go after?
Yeah, I know, like, Dylan Harper, the point guard from Rutgers, is the seems like the clear-cut number two. I know my colleagues, David Aldridge and Josh Robbins, wrote today about different scenarios. Should the Wizards get pick 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera? What could play out? My only question with Harper, as well as the other, Ace Bailey, who's the other kid from Rutgers, who's maybe is going to be the third pick, is that you had two guys who may be the second and third pick, and that team didn't make the tournament. That scares me a little bit, because I remember everybody said Markelle Fultz was the guy, and his last year with Washington, they won 10 games. Same thing with Ben Simmons. Like, LSU, he's, you know, the number one pick, and LSU didn't make the tournament, I don't think. So that, to me, is the only part that I'm a little sketched out on. Admittedly, I didn't watch much Rutgers basketball or college basketball, so I don't have a real opinion, but that's just from the outside my question. But Dylan Harper would seem to be the guy if they say pick second. You know, tall point guard, son of former NBA player Ron Harper, who was a hell of a player in his own right. You know, I think he would be the next guy, and all that's fine. I'm not worried about position at this point with the Wizards. They need talent. Either one of those guys would be fine. Get beyond that, and it starts to become a bit more interesting. Or interesting, but the wrong kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. You got any schedule picks? You got any theories?
No, I mean, you know, I'm going to listen to the Kevin Sheehan fake mock schedule, because that's obviously where all the insight is. I don't know. I mean, is it possible they open week one at Philly? Because it's obviously the Super Bowl champ gets, the home game to open the season. And normally I wouldn't think that's a division game necessarily, but clearly the league is going to want to promote Jaden Daniels, right? So I think that, to me, would make a lot of sense. And, you know, it feels like this is the year they're finally getting international game. I've been personally hoping more Spain than Brazil. So I think that would be pretty fun if that's the way that it unfolds. I know there's been some Twitter rumors, or, you know, we'll see. But yeah, no, I think that would be a lot of fun. Clearly they're going to get a ton of national games. What the order is, you know, we'll find out, but that is the ultimate prediction, right? Whatever the maximum national games is, they're going to get, because Jaden Daniels is that interesting, and this team is that much is become a league-wide darling, which is bizarre, as we all know, but that's just the reality.
Thank you for the time, Benny. Enjoy.
Right,
man. I'll see you tomorrow,
cool,
I guess.
Awesome, guys. Thanks. See ya.
All right, man.
That's Ben Standing. Give him a follow at Ben Standing. Check out his podcast, Last Man Standing.
Yeah.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
You
Nobody go anywhere. We still have bets to make. And I won last night. And no one's congratulated me.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. FanDuel is the best place to find all your favorite player props. And now you can make the smarter play with new performance trends. Want to see if a guy's hitting that over consistently? Or maybe they've been flirting with a potential triple-double. Get the latest stats right inside the app and see who's heating up. And once the game starts, that's when things get interesting. You can combine the live prop bets into same-game parlay for a chance to win big. If you don't already have FanDuel, it's not too late to get in on the action. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So visit FanDuel.com/Ryan to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Jeff, what was that you were saying about the burgeoning creative economy? With the people traveling around, what were they doing?
Go ahead, man. you crazy.
I heard y'all talking to me. I'm like, what? I'm glad I'm not in that room. Y'all can have some weird conversations.
Right. We do need to have like a brief moment of honesty, perhaps clarity, surrounding the Bill Belichick ongoing kind of debacle.
I just saw a comment, my college text thread.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody say, it's time to let him go, but he's becoming a distraction. He's not becoming a distraction. She's becoming a distraction.
I agree with that. But the one thing I think we all got to stop with.
With what?
The how does she do it? How does she have this control over Belichick?
She's 24.
We all know how, okay? Whatever it is they're into. They're doing it.
She's
and that's
24,
how.
He's 74, I think. She can still hula hoop. He can't.
Hula hooping.
I'm just saying, hey, just think about the hula hoop, and you can take away, think what you wish from that.
So in the last, I don't know, 6 hours? So you know John McClain, the dude from Houston, like really famous old school reporter?
Yeah.
Part of me wonders if his Twitter account has been taken over by bots or something, like if he sold his Twitter account, because all of a sudden he's just like constantly tweeting. In the last 20 minutes, he tweeted out, so the woman's name is Jordan. I think it's just Jordan, but she goes by Jordan Hudson. That's Bill Belichick's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Belichick obviously is 75. I don't know however old Bill is.
74.
Okay. Jordan is 24.
Mm-hmm.
So earlier today, this happened today, Pablo Torre, who I think still works for ESPN.
ESPN, don't he?
Jeff, can you look up if he still works for them? Because it seems like he took an L today. On his podcast, Pablo Torre revealed interviews with numerous sources close to Belichick's family that detailed the controversial relationship between Bill and Jordan and said she'd been banned from facilities at the University of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Banned. That's his word.
Why is their relationship controversial, though? People need to mind their damn business. She's a 24-year-old. She's above 21. She can make her own decisions.
I think that's a very fair point.
Yeah.
Now, the University of North Carolina, yo, like, for all this crazy stuff, UNC is a public Ivy. I mean, that is an esteemed academic
mm-hmm.
institution.
Yeah.
Carolina's dealing with this stuff. So the University of North Carolina put out an official statement. While Jordan Hudson is not an employee at the University of Carolina Athletics, she is welcome to the Carolina football facilities. Jordan will continue to manage all activities related to Coach Belichick's personal brand outside of his responsibilities for Carolina football and the university. So I would say there's a report from Pablo Torre that says she's banned. Then the school says she is welcome to Carolina football facilities.
Yeah, but they'd say for his brand outside of Carolina. My question would be, why does she need to be in the football thing if she's doing this stuff outside of the football, outside of him being a coach?
My guess, and I don't know, it's a fair question. Like, there's the official UNC football Instagram that they're taking pictures when LT comes and it's Belichick and LT. But all of a sudden now, Belichick's got his own Instagram. And Belichick, you know what I mean? Like, there's the official stuff and then their stuff, his stuff.
I understand what you're saying, but if he is being paid by North Carolina to be their football coach, when he's doing football stuff, all that other stuff has to wait.
I think it happens after practice or whatever, but it's still on the practice fields.
Okay, let's be real. After practice, does a coach's job stop after practice?
B, you're asking legitimate questions.
I'm just saying, like this is, I understand she's running his personal stuff. North Carolina can say, look, when he's at work, no. They have the right. They're paying him seven figures or something like that, eight figures. They can say, look, off when he leaves, you can do whatever you want to do.
At least high seven.
Because, like, come on, man. The man dresses in cut-off sweatshirts and whatever. You're not changing that. So what is he trying to, what brand is she really trying to push out there?
Possibly her own. But let me
That's
read.
What I think it is.
Let me read one more thing. I don't think Pablo Torre must work for ESPN anymore because I'm reading an ESPN article. And he's just quoted as a podcaster. Is that right, Jeff?
He might be a podcaster.
Okay. So Torre said she's banned. Carolina comes out, says she's not banned. Torre responds. I hope I'm saying, is it Torre or Tori? Pablo.
Pablo.
Petey Pob, mother. This is the quote. The University of North Carolina could choose to describe or change its position on Jordan Hudson's involvement however it wishes following the publication of our episode. We requested comment and filed dozens of FOIA requests that were not satisfied, and we stand by the specific reporting in our episode, which came from the highest levels of the football program. The highest level of the football program is Bill. You think Bill said she was banned?
Is he the AD?
That's not the football program. That's the athletic program.
But the athletic – football is athletics, Jay.
Yeah, but you wouldn't say the highest level of the football program. You'd say the highest level of the athletic program.
Well, the football coach answers to the athletic director.
You know what? I think I might be landing in a unique spot that you, one of your earlier comments has kind of landed me on. And maybe this is what they're going for.
What was that comment?
I've chosen optimism with the Capitals. I'm choosing optimism with the NBA draft lottery Monday night. I'm choosing not give a bleep-ism. Like, this is just a couple of adults, consenting adults, having a weird relationship. Whatever it is you're into, if it's the creative economy, like Jeff was explaining to me, or just an old dude with a young lady, like, what are they doing wrong?
They're not doing anything wrong.
Maybe we should just all care less.
They may not be doing nothing wrong, but she is, when you start looking at a football coach around a football team,
sure.
How often do you see the spouse or the girlfriend or whatever?
There have been times where you and I have had discussions about things.
She's around too damn much.
I agree with you there. If I was a Carolina football fan, or if my son was playing football in North Carolina, like, there are reasons that I would care about this. I think I'm just check please on this story. Yeah. Eventually they'll break up. I mean, we'll all move forward.
Maybe. Maybe not.
You think they're getting married? You think they're going to have kids?
Been around a long time.
I was about to say something that I'm not going to. We'll be right back. It's P. Mitch and Finley. Long but quick, the Jeff Walker story. Sean Paul. Call number 10 right now, 800-636-1067. You win two tickets to see Wiz Khalifa and Sean Paul, the Good Vibes Only Tour. B, who's the special guest?
What?
Who's the special guest for Wiz Khalifa and Sean Paul?
I don't know.
You do know, and you're just trying to make me say it.
No, you say it.
You know who it is.
I don't know it.
Landfill, who is it? You do. You all know. Jeff.
Landfill. Dude, I don't know. I swear.
Do not recall.
I can't remember.
Who is the special guest?
I know you got a piece of paper that says it, though.
You gotta say it, JP.
Just read it.
The concert is Wiz Khalifa and Sean Paul, the Good Vibes Only tour with special guest.
You got to read in
front
of you.
What do Bria and Deshaun have?
Marriage.
Yeah.
You guys are such jerks. With special guest, DaBaby. Friday.
So, oh, yeah, now I remember.
So, Bria, hold on. You want me to say Bria and Deshaun? What they have?
DaBaby.
That doesn't work.
Friday, July 25th at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. Mm-hmm. Caller number 10 right now. Two tickets, Wiz Khalifa, Sean Paul, DaBaby.
DaBaby.
I hope you enjoy that. I've won the week.
You did.
I've decided.
Nah, we don't think you did.
Apparently, me and Jeff tied. J-Dogs forever.
Man, no.
I also think I won the week because I don't. So last night, I won. B-Mitch won. Landfill just saw some straight hater stuff, picked the Hurricanes.
Yeah, Landfill, whack.
I think I should get a parlay because I called a Wilson goal and a win.
Nah.
Landfill? Why not? I called two things to happen.
Nah.
That's a parlay.
Nah.
That's some hater-ish. Jeff picked darts, which should not count.
Landfill, what are you posting?
That's the girl you were asking us about.
Oh, Ricky Fowler's wife?
Yeah. I think her name...
She's a pole vaulter?
Yeah, dog.
Those people only, to me...
Listen, there's no innuendo or pun involved. She's an actual pole vaulter.
No, but I'm saying...
Why can't I pick darts?
You pick darts, you just the lost. Sport.
We were all making Caps predictions, and you picked darts.
Because I was not going to jinx the boys.
He is bad luck.
Like, that's my thing.
If you showed up at the game.
If I understand that if I say it over the air, and I know that could probably curse him, and I don't say it, why are you mad? If I show up and just support and we win, we keep it at that. But it's just saying it over the air.
The reason they won last night, and me and Ahmed went up to the suite, and they started scoring.
So
I'm going to say, B, let's go back down. I say, nope.
You're sitting near me.
I say, score. We were up here before. We're going to stay up here.
I was the good luck.
Nah.
Hell no.
Well, I tell you what. I did say, Tariq El-Bashir, who I've been friends with a long time, after game one, Tariq looked at me. He's like, JP, they started losing when you showed up. And so last night I had to remind him, be like, yo, I'm here. They won. And he just started laughing.
All right. Hey, so it's always somebody else's fault.
Game three predictions. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, right here on 106.7 The Fan. You can listen to John Walton. I need a winner, a score, and a goal scorer. Whoever could start.
You said what?
We're predicting game three tomorrow night.
I'm going to take Caps win.
Caps win, OV score.
2-1.
You got a scorer?
Score, I'm going with Protas.
Protas, Ovechkin for Jeffrey. Landfill, you doing some hater-ish?
Yeah, I'm just saying, I picked the Caps and they lost, then I picked the Hurricanes and they lost, so I'm picking the Hurricanes. I'm taking Stankoven or Stankonia, whatever the guy's name
Stankonia,
is.
Stankonia, gots to be here. You should take Aho. Landfill, you should...
Every time I hear his name, I just think of this one thing.
Landfill, you should get Aho goal. Caps win. Take the under in this series. Caps win 3-1. Duhane goal. Going with Dewey. We done? We're done. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program. Thank you for enjoying yet another glorious Vodka Red Bull Friday. Thank you to Brent Johnson for joining us. Thank you to Ben Standig for joining us. Real fun show today. Thanks to everybody that called in. Shout out to DaBaby. Grant and Danny coming your way next. You made it this far. I gave you concert tickets.